Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 27 of the Pete Craft Podcast. I am your host, Emelson, and today we are going to be taking a break from the Battle for Azeroth content to talk about the recently launched Shadowlands Alpha. Joining me for that, we have Babylonius.
Hello.
And as a reminder, because I think it's been a while since you've been on the show, Babs, or at least maybe just a while since we last had a show. What do you do for the Monk community?
I run it. I you know, own the website and Discord, and am the head administrator on the Discord and website, and write all of the, or the majority of the Windwalker stuff for peakofserenity.com, and I do also do the guides for Wowhead as well.
Cool. Also joining me is Fatal Bones to talk about Mistweaver stuff.
Hello.
So what do you do, Fatal Bones? Are you... Well, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I raid Mythic, obviously. We're on Azoth right now. Almost got him down. I've played Mistweaver since Legion, or sorry, since MOP, raided since early Legion. Used to push high rated PvP, used to push high dungeons. So I'm pretty experienced in most aspects of the game as Mistweaver. I've stuck with it through the thick and thin times. So yeah, I've stuck with it. And for the Monk community, I guess I got vet in Legion, just to help people understand the class, answer community questions, stuff like that. So, yeah.
So, for those that maybe haven't been paying attention to the WoW news over the past week, we've had a very, very busy week, starting off with a post about the new system coming in Shadowlands called Covenants on Tuesday. And they followed that up with a fairly in-depth class design post on Wednesday. And I don't think we've had a design post that was that detailed since Ghostcrawler left.
Yeah, no, definitely it's been a long time.
Ghostcrawler left a long time ago. After that, Alpha came up Thursday afternoon, which it's... Given the timeline that they gave us at BlizzCon for when Shadowlands could come out and what the pre-order says for when Shadowlands comes out, we're looking at 8 months of alpha beta, 9-10 months of alpha beta. What do you guys think?
I mean, I would not be surprised if it was an early 2021 release. I know there's some complications there with pre-orders saying 2020. So, I mean, I expect maybe they try not to do Christmas things, so it's got to be either November or after December. I'm hoping for 2021, but again, they have to try to push it before then.
So I feel differently. I think we'll see probably a November or December release. I think with the whole quarantine and staying at home and stuff, I think it's very difficult to give a good idea for you know, what the timeline might be, but I think they'll probably originally were aiming, you know, to release like late October, early November, and you know, so I think they won't look to push too far past that. You know, so I do think we'll probably see alpha for the next 2 maybe 3 months and then move to beta for 3 or 4 months, you know, plus that little bit of time where it's on the PTR or whatever they call it at that point, open beta. But I still think we'll see a release before the end of the year.
What would you like to see? What would you rather see, a release before the end of the year or them take the time and then get it in early? Just your opinion.
I mean, that's a hard question to answer. I think I would rather them, you know, if it's not ready, you know, for the holidays, I'd rather, you know, it come out in 2021. You know, I'm obviously, you know, I don't have any plans on going anywhere, and you know, maybe eventually we'll be able to leave the house again on a regular basis. So I'm hoping by, regardless of you know, when this comes out, you know, the world will hopefully back to be a relatively state of normal. So at that point, I don't think it's really going to matter too much. It's just, you know, a couple more weeks of, you know, farming. I don't think they'll look to have another year plus long raid if they can avoid it.
Yeah, especially with how gear scaling has worked this tier in particular. I'm hearing from a lot of people that already have Nazoth on farm about how dramatic the power scaling has been for how quickly they can kill the boss now, just with all the things like increased corruption limits and the cloak proc and all this stuff. So I don't think they're going to be wanting to leave this tier for another year. For some context, the timeline between Battle for Azeroth Alpha 2 release was just a little bit over 6 months. And that is pretty widely regarded as not enough time.
Right. Yeah, and that's, I agree with that. And that's why, you know, I'm thinking maybe closer to 9 would put it around a Christmas release. Or I guess 8, you know, roughly at this point. But I mean, I definitely agree that the, you know, the Battle for Azeroth alpha and beta cycle was definitely not the way many people feel that it should go. But I'm not entirely convinced that that's, I think there's a lot more reasons to that besides just duration.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I was going to throw in there is, BFA is kind of already going to be compared to WoD, and with a huge end of tier gap between now and whenever Shadowlands is coming, they really can't do that again. So I'm hoping for a early kind of pre-patch some for Shadowlands, get some content back in the game. So I'm hoping for that. Yeah.
I could definitely see them doing a lengthier pre-patch, you know, situation if they do that, you know, maybe add, you know, some assets here and there, you know, to kind of give people something to do, you know, maybe between, you know, say if they're not finished, you know, around the holidays time, give people, you know, instead of like a 1 month pre-patch, have it be closer to 2 or 2.5 or 3 months long. With a bunch of changes and, you know, maybe some different, you know, access to to various things if they can make that work.
Yeah, it'd be really cool to get some time to play with, like, if they could do the class or the level squish and the stat squish in pre-patch and we get our new abilities. That'd be cool to have some time with those before we head into Shadowlands.
I would honestly love to have the leveling revamp right now, but it's a little bit too much.
But yeah, no, I think stuff like that is definitely something that they can, and I'm sure are considering, you know, as to, you know, whether or not they want to roll that stuff out earlier. You know, they can keep the access to, you know, all the new areas and stuff for the expansion, but I'm sure there's a lot of that that they could probably feel would, you know, might be better to get out sooner rather than later. You know, give people like 3 months to, you know, level up new characters, go through the new experiences, you know, stuff like that. Because, I mean, I've long thought that the, you know, month or so, you know, 4 to 6 week pre-patch is not enough time. It just becomes silliness and you get a lot of other unintended things that happen during that time. And it just is a very chaotic state of the game for a couple weeks. I'd rather things be a little bit slower.
I agree with that. But we also got class changes this Wednesday. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about. I know Brewmasters had a couple of posts about it. Windwalkers had at least one. I don't know about Mistweaver. Why don't we go through the changes and see what we think?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I did. I mean, my I did put up a second post for Windwalkers, but it's mostly the same because we didn't really discover a ton more stuff from Wednesday to now. Where would you like to start?
Let's start with the class-wide stuff, the stuff that everybody's getting back. Oh, well, maybe not everyone, because there's things like Touch of Death is coming back for everyone, except Windwalkers already had Touch of Death, so for them it's not so much coming back as getting changed.
Yeah, but yeah, they all get a little bonus.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, all the specs are getting Touch of Death, everyone's getting Spinning Crane Kick. I think, are Mistweavers going to be able to use two-hand weapons and dual wield? Or is it just going to be like...
I mean, Mistweavers could already hand, use...
offhand.
Yeah, Mistweavers could already use staves and main hand offhand. I don't think there's any plans to make double main hand or whatever that would be.
Okay, that's what I figured. But yeah, and then, I mean, everybody's getting Expel Harm. Everyone's getting a baseline Invoke Celestial button. Windwalkers are getting Zuen. Brewmasters are getting New Zhao, and Mistweavers are getting Yulon.
Correct.
Right? They're not getting Chi Chi also, are they?
We are, but getting both, actually.
Oh.
Is Chi Chi baseline or a talent?
Fancy.
Chi Chi's a talent.
Okay.
So Yulon's the baseline one. Chi Chi's an extra one.
Yeah, Yulon's baseline. Chi Chi is a talent. I mean, I could go more into that later. I could just talk about it now.
Why don't we go over now? Let's talk about the Celestials.
Let's talk about them. Start with your Mistweaver one, because the Windwalker one's boring. Press button, do damage.
I mean, okay, the Yulon one's pretty boring too, will not lie. It's, if anyone's ever played with just Chi Chi from the current version of the game, BFA, it's just a Chi Chi basically dashes around, healing raid members to whoever it dashes to. It's like a small raid cooldown. Basically, Yulon's going to be the same, except it will drop several healing orbs. We haven't tested very much on this yet, so we don't know how the healing orb amount of healing orbs. We don't know how that scales with group size. And we also don't have a spell power coefficient yet to see how good these healing orbs are. If they do kind of pitiful healing, then it's going to feel very similar to how it does now, in that it's a smaller impact cooldown. If these healing orbs are many and powerful, then it could be a more potent raid CD.
Only if you can get people to pick up the healing
if
orbs.
If you can get them to pick it up, which
is
the part. Yeah. We're either going to have to all stack, and you only use it when you're stacked so that the healing orbs are a guaranteed hit, or, yeah, we're going to get into some frustrating points where you see all your healing orbs just sitting and then expiring, and then you're sad. So, if anyone is familiar with Conflict and Strife for Mistweaver, we get Way the Crane. That is the new Invoke Chi Chi. So Invoke Chi Chi is moving away from Crackbird, as we call it, into Way the Crane, where you just DPS and it is converted into healing on raid members or group members. But now you also get Chi Chi actually summoned with Way the Crane, and he will attack as any pet would. And that attack counts as damage that can be converted to healing, which can create some interesting scenarios where you can actually control where Chi Chi goes and who he's attacking, so you can get some better control over his positioning and who he's healing around him. I don't think that'll be too important to playing him correctly. That's more very niche. But it's kind of cool. It's different from what we have now.
So on something like Hive Mind right now you might be able to put Chi Chi on one boss and B on the other and get...
That's a great example, actually, yeah. If people are split between the bosses, you could be on one boss, have Chi Chi walk over and attack the other one, and see both groups getting healed. Yeah. Shout out to Blood Moon for us.
Yeah, Blood Moon did some testing of the Brewmaster abilities, too.
Yes, they've been very helpful with having the alpha while none of us do.
Yeah, we've had a couple people who've been saviors for Windwalkers, being able to get in and sit and let us ask them questions and stuff and answer a bunch of them. It's been very helpful as we sit and wait. I really did honestly expect that I would have it before this weekend. But I also expected them to put out maybe another wave of invites on Friday, which they did not.
From what I was seeing, there were still a lot of bugs that, you know, people's characters getting stuck in the dungeon in particular. There were some crashing bugs where it would just, like, you couldn't log in again. And there was, it would crash your entire group. The only way to get your character back was basically to wait for the instance server to, like, your instance to expire on reset.
I mean, I'm honestly, I think anybody who's I get the people who are hopping in dungeons and the reason that you're doing it, you know, because they're all streamers and stuff like that. But I mean, how much can you really expect from, you know, hopping in a dungeon and, you know, thinking things are going to work smoothly?
I mean,
in the first 24 hours.
Well,
stuff still doesn't work smoothly now.
It's true.
Miss Weaver's kiting around obelisk targets.
Also, I'm going to echo Trell here. Delete Toldegore.
Correct.
So we'll just have to wait next expansion, and then it's gone. We won't have to do it again.
Yeah, they're going to introduce Time Walking Mythic Plus, and Toldegore is going to be on there calling it now.
There you go.
So what about Invoke Zuin?
So there's not much that we know too much about Zuin. He's, you know, Windwalkers have had Invoke Zuin as a talent for a very extended period of time. You summon him. He shows up, does a little roar for a second. He attacks, you know, targets with his claws, has some auto attacks, and then also shoots out lightning on up to three targets. That is the same. Nothing really changed. I think his duration went down a smidge. I think from 20 seconds to 15 or something like that. But, you know, they also mentioned in their philosophy post or whatever from earlier this week that he would do additional damage to targets that the monk had hit recently. So we assume that that is similar to, if not exactly the same as the Mark of the Crane function for spinning crane kick and stuff for Windwalkers, which I'll talk about when we get a little bit more in depth to the Windwalker stuff. But, you know, that's really as far as we know right now. He's just kind of your standard, press him every two minutes and off he goes. You know, really, a lot of us have our fingers crossed that they'll be adding some interactivity or functionality to Zuin to make him really more of a bigger part of the spec rather than just a, oh, cool, now I have a cat and have to worry about all the pet UI stuff. Plus, his auto attacks scale with haste, but his lightning doesn't. None of him scales with mastery. You know, so it's in terms of, you know, Windwalker's longstanding problems with scaling, having him be a set part is only making it worse at, you know, if not keeping it exactly the same.
So would you be looking for something kind of like how a Destro Warlock, their Infernal Works, which I guess if people aren't familiar with that, the way that works is it gives them extra resources. It generates soul shards at an absurd rate. And also for every one that you spend while it's active, it does more damage.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of stuff. And I wrote, you know, a chunk of this in my article from the other day. But Windwalker has had a lot of really great abilities and interactions and mechanics that have kind of gotten lost over the years. And I think now we're stuck with certain things like Storm, Earth, and Fire that are kind of a buggy mess and tend to be more of a pain to work with than not. So, you know, I'm personally really hoping that Zuin kind of becomes the main DPS cooldown and they just get rid of Storm, Earth, and Fire. And it's a relatively popular hope, but you know, I think there's a lot of things, you know, that could be, you know, the chi that you spend during increases his duration, you know, like we have with the Drinking Horn cover legendary from Legion, or, you know, if you want to stick with the lightning while Zuin is up, you know, your auto attacks build up, you know, whatever, so you can shoot Crackling Jade Lightning, you know, like we have with Emperor's Capacitor, you know, stuff like that. I'm okay with that as long as you can move while channeling it. The fact that you couldn't move just drives me up a wall, but try not to get too far down that rabbit hole. But and then, you know, obviously there's a lot of current BFA things that would be nice to go forward. I like the Fury of Zuin Azurite trait. I think that would be nice to see built in or maybe separately or something like that. You know, I think if they're going to move to Zuin being baseline and being, you know, a little bit more core, I would like to see it less of a summon Zuin and more like a really, you know, invoke Zuin. Like you invoke him in your character, you gain some of his powers, stuff like that.
Okay, yeah, and the new Niuzhou, so Brewmasters get Invoke Niuzhou baseline. We currently have him as a talent, but he's got some new tricks, and it's actually been changed pretty substantially from how it is right now in BFA. So right now in BFA, it's a 3-minute cooldown, lasts for 45 seconds, and just sits there, autos, and stomps, and that's all it does. And Stomp does some AoE. Damage is horrendously undertuned. You should never take it for any reason in BFA. But the reworked version is very interesting because it's got two different things going on. First off, it's a little bit of a defensive cooldown. Some of your stagger, instead, like damage you would stagger, a portion of it gets transferred to Niuzhou, which I'm a little bit worried about incidentally killing him, but we'll see how that ends up being tuned. The second thing that's interesting is that Niuzhou inherited Hot Trub. For those that aren't familiar with Brewmasters, that is our Conflict and Strife PvP talent. We were very, very excited when that was announced as our talent. Oh my god, were we excited. And then subsequently, very disappointed when it ended up being nerfed into basically being useless outside of 20 in 8.2. It was like plus 20 keys you could start using it, and right now I think it's plus 23 or 24 keys that you can start using it. It's really disappointing, but we're getting it baseline, so we don't have to make a choice of whether or not to use it. We just get it for free. There's a bunch of questions we have about it that we don't know. For example, Hot Trub has a stagger cap, so when you purify damage, it deals the damage around you up to a cap. We don't know if Niuzhou has that kind of cap or not. That's actually impossible to test on PTR or on Alpha right now because you can't get high enough stagger. The cap on live is like 200% stagger, and hitting that point on Alpha is very, very hard. So, yeah. I think having Niuzhou is very exciting. For Brewmasters, not only for those reasons, but also because it finally gives us a DPS cooldown, which right now, hoping for more interaction with our kit, maybe some like setup that we have to do to maximize it or something like that. But just having a DPS cooldown is already an improvement from where we are.
Cool. Yeah, no, there definitely was some big changes that kind of were necessary to make him work or usable. Hot Trub will be interesting.
If we would like to talk about the class wide abilities, like Touch of Death coming back for all specs, it does vary a little bit from spec to spec. So I believe it works the same as it did pre this expansion, where it just kills an enemy lower than your health or below 15%. And for Mistweavers, when you kill something with it, it spawns healing orbs. We still don't know the power of these healing orbs, but kind of interesting. We're happy to have Touch of Death back. Anything that makes us deal damage is always welcome. So we love to see that.
Yeah, Brewmasters get it too. For us, the announcement post said it would fully clear stagger. The current data mining and the tooltip in game says it clears 200% stagger, which is still very good. But it is kind of niche because a lot of things in PvE do not have less health than you. However, Brewmasters obviously have more health than Mistweavers and Windwalkers. So Touch of Death gets, it's going to be a little bit more usable for us, I think.
One other interaction with Mistweaver that sounds kind of cool if it works is we are getting our Invoke GG, which is Way of the Crane right now, in Shadowlands. And if Touch of Death works with that, like, it heals based on damage you deal, and Touch of Death still deals, like, a huge chunk of damage, like, your current health, that would be kind of cool. You get basically a group-wide lay on hands with that, if you're running dungeons. So that could be exciting. And also, I forgot to mention earlier, as of right now, Chi-Gi does not have a mana cost on its tooltip in Shadowlands. It's just an instant use ability. And if it stays like that, that will be awesome because it gives us Way the Crane without the 25% mana cost that it is on live, which kind of forces you to use Manatee before you press it every time, which is a lot of GCDs to get to the healing.
Yeah.
So if it's just an instant press, no mana cost ability, it will be insanely strong and could actually make Mistweaver relatively stronger. So hope to see that. I'm kind of expecting a mana cost to be slapped on there before it goes live, but it'd be great if it didn't.
Yeah, and Brewmasters have a little bit of a similar interaction that we also don't know if it works yet or not, between Touch of Death and Invoke Niuzhao. So Invoke Niuzhao gets damage added to its next stomp based on the amount you purify. Touch of Death clears a bunch of stagger. We don't know if that counts. So we're going to have to do some testing and see exactly if the purified damage adds to the next stomp. But if it does, that has some pretty big potential because getting a huge purify like that could really pump up the damage from you, though.
Yeah, and those, you know, with that stuff, with Touch of Death, you know, obviously it's a big change from Windwalker because we had that already. You know, and this kind of gets closer to how it was in Warlords, but not quite the same. You know, I know one of the things that people mentioned as being a concern of theirs was the fact that if Brewmasters are spamming it to try and get that last kill or try and get that extra little bit of damage, that Brewmasters will be able to access it faster by the virtue of having more health. But it wasn't really a problem through Mists and through Warlords. I don't expect it's going to magically become some kind of game-breaking situation going forward. You know, I personally would have preferred, you know, the Gale Burst mechanic, you know, where a chunk of our damage was added to Touch of Death. I would have preferred that to become the main part of that cooldown, at least for Windwalkers. But you know, the fact that right now it really kind of gets resigned to, yeah, maybe you'll press it once on a raid fight, or it might be something fun to kind of snipe ads and stuff in dungeons, or you know, use it to kind of just blow up a quest mob or something when you're out. You know, having it kind of go back to that lesser used function, I'm okay with. I think Windwalker's got enough buttons to press and things to worry about, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time being super upset if Touch of Death is, you know, resigned to really not a lot of use.
One of the things I am interested to see regarding Touch of Death is what it will do in Mythic Plus. This expansion, we have a lot of instances that have some very low HP mobs. And that's the kind of thing where for Brewmasters, having this full purify attached to it, if you can snag one of those mobs with a Touch of Death and just reset your stagger, that's pretty powerful. It's going to depend, of course, on whether those mobs actually exist and how frequent they are and how much HP they have, you know, at a relevant key level to see how good that actually is. But let's start diving a little bit more into the spec-specific stuff. Why don't we kick things off with the Windwalkers?
Sure. You know, we already talked about, you know, Touch of Death and my feelings on that, as well as Zuan being baseline and stuff. You know, some of the other things, you know, that Windwalkers saw added, you know, we gained Expel Harm, as well as Fortifying Brew, which is nice. Those are great. Nobody ever bemoans a little bit more control over your own survivability, especially I'm sure for the people who play PvP and stuff like that, you know, who do a lot of questing or whatnot. It's interesting because right now Windwalkers can have expel harm and reverse harm. I really don't like the functionality of reverse harm. I much prefer the functionality of expel harm, having to worry about somebody else's health and how close they are to you and close they are to the boss is just way too much of a headache for me. But expel harm, healing you, you know, stuff like that is fine. I like it. The problem that I have with expel harm is it's kind of in a weird place right now, where previously, you know, back when it existed, it did enough damage. It did, you know, it was usable, you know, if you were missing 10, it did up to 10% of your health or 8% or whatever, and it would deal half of that of your health, of the health that it healed in damage, you know, to a target. And it cost 40 energy. It generated 2 chi. So at the time, it was very easy to, oh, you're missing a little bit of health, just use Expel Harm in place of Tiger Palm or Jab, depending on what expansion you're looking at. It also gave you another way to kind of keep chi generation going. And you know, now I'm assuming, you know, mastery going, if the target was out of range, stuff like that, just a little bit of extra, you know, nuance and a little bit more skill, in how to use it and how to really get the maximum out of it. Right now it just costs 15 energy for Windwalkers, you know, it deals less damage and stuff. So it's kind of in a weird place where there's absolutely going to be situations where due to somebody's character or stat balance, they'll want to use Expel Harm in a DPS rotation situation, but very few people will want to do that. You know, so I'd like to either see it do less damage, maybe a little more healing, or have it do more damage and kind of go back to the way that it had been previously, rather than right now it's kind of a weird in between. But overall, you know, having to rely a little bit less on the healing spheres that drop, is never a bad thing. So I'm okay with that. Fortifying Brew, again, you know, is great. Some damage reduction, some extra health. The big concern I have with that is, you know, is that Touch of Karma is a thing. And more health means more Touch of Karma damage. So my concern is that what it does is it fosters a playstyle, and I will use the word degenerate because it's kind of the official word for that playstyle, both in the community and, you know, Blizzard has said it before. So, you know, I think it promotes a degenerate playstyle where you're going to use Fort Brew before you use Touch of Karma or Touch of Death to increase your health pool, and now you're using two defensive abilities for an offensive gain. And, you know, I understand that, okay, that gives you, you know, you're not going to use them if you're going to need them defensively and stuff, but people don't really make the choice that way in real life. So I'd really like to see it. Something changed more to Touch of Karma than to Fort Brew.
Sounds like Touch of Karma is really the problem. It's been for a long time.
It really has been a problem, you know, for a long time. I mean, you know, kind of as it became more and more bigger chunk of our damage and stuff over the last couple of years, it's kind of just been a problem. It promotes a playstyle that requires a DPS to take damage to do damage and, you know, added risk and stuff like that. And beyond that, it, you know, it doesn't scale with all of our stats and scales with stamina, giving Windwalkers, you know, really the only spec that has noticeable damage scaling from their health and stamina and stuff. So it just adds extra wrinkles that the kind of novelty of it has worn off long ago for myself and for many people. And I'd really just like to see it changed in some way to not have to constantly be answering, okay, hey, what ability can people stand in on this fight to get the most out of Touch of Karma? Or, you know, should I be using a stamina flask and Fort Brew before popping my Touch of Karma? And then how long should I do before I go back to Agility Flask? Like, that stuff is just a pain in the butt, and I really don't want to have to deal with that again like we used to in Warlords. What else have I missed? Oh, target caps, you know, Fist of Fury has, and Spinning Crane Kick and Rushing Jade Wind all have target caps of 6 right now. That got added. I am mostly ambivalent to the idea of target caps as it pertains to DPS. I'd like to see a little more clarification on what they're trying to do with it. I understand they want to separate cleave and AoE abilities, But like right now, Windwalkers have a cap of on Fist of Fury, Spinning Crane Kick, Rushing Jade Wind, but not Whirling Dragon Punch. So Whirling Dragon Punch does damage in the same area, same way that Spinning Crane Kick and Rushing Jade Wind do. So why would Whirling Dragon Punch be in a different category of AoE versus cleave? Fist of Fury makes sense. It's a cone. It, you know, cleave, stuff like that. That makes sense. But I'd like to see a little bit more clarification and consistency between their decision to do that kind of stuff. But overall, it's not really a big deal. We'll worry about that later. And, you know, really the last thing is that to replace Zuwen becoming baseline, Windwalkers are getting the Azurite trait, Dance of Chi-Gi, as a talent to replace Zuwen. I think it's a good idea. I like Dance of Chi-Gi, even though I really don't like adding procs and stuff to Windwalker playstyle. It's relatively minor most of the time. You know, I would have liked the
proc spinning crane kick one, right?
Yeah, I should explain that. That yeah, so that's one. It gives you there's a chance from when you spend chi to make your next spinning crane kick free and deal increased damage. Right now, you know, just goofing around with the balance and stuff, that talent is so significantly ahead of Rushing Jade Wind and hit combo in that section that there really doesn't stand a chance. But, you know, tuning to come, I'm sure.
And, I don't mind having to use hit combo.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, hit, like, I could go on, and I've spent, you know, a decent chunk of time in articles, you know, about my problems with, you know, some of the other things like Hit Combo and Storm Earth and Fire and Serenity and whatnot. But, you know, yeah, most people are not going to lament taking something that's not Hit Combo. I would, you know, if I had my choice, I would take away Hit Combo and I'd put Fury of Zuwen there, the other Azurite trait that your abilities gave you a stack that increased your chance to summon Zuwen, as well as give yourself a haste buff. I could care less about the haste buff, but mostly because it tended to screw around with our other cooldowns, especially Whirling Dragon Punch. But I think being able to summon Zuwen, have him do a little bit of mostly single target, a little bit of cleave, would complement nicely the Dance of Chi-Gi talent, which is, you know, more of more AoE with a little less single target. You know, I think they just complement each other nicely.
What about the Azurite trait that you have that gives you a proc to kick a second time with Rising Sun Kick?
So that's Glory of the Dawn, and I'm okay with that as well. I think it would make sense to put that in and maybe take out Rushing Jade Wind. Because Rushing Jade Wind in its state needs some pretty heavy changes to be usable, both numerically and just in terms of its functionality and not wanting to throw yourself off a cliff. But I've no problem with Glory of the Dawn because a lot of people like the extra Rising Sun Kick animation. It was kind of a fan favorite from Legion. And I think the three of those, if balanced well, would complement each other really nicely. Glory of the Dawn is strictly single target. Dance of Chi-Gi is mostly AoE with a little single target. And Fury of Zuwen is mostly single target with a little AoE. And I think all three of those would complement each other very nicely in a talent row. You know, that'd be one of those things that you could choose, you know, for single target bosses. You would choose Glory of the Dawn for bosses with maybe a little bit of cleave, you would choose Fury of Zuwen, or for Mythic Plus or bosses with a lot of cleave, you would choose Dance of Chi-Gi. So, you know, I think that those three really would make a lot of sense to put them all together. As long as, like right now, Glory of the Dawn refunds a chi if it procs, I really could do away with random resource generation and stuff like that. That's one of my least favorite parts of Windwalker, this expansion. But the damage and, you know, letting your character do a double backflip when you use Rising Sun Kick, I mean, that's pretty cool.
I agree. That's why I mentioned it. I like that. I like that trait. Yep. I don't get to use it because my Windwalker gear is trash, but I do like that trait. So, excuse me, I'm dying over here. How about Mistweavers? The section in our notes for Mistweavers is really short and really only has Invoke Chi-Gi in it. Are there other changes that you want to talk about?
no other note extremely notable changes. I mean, obviously we have Expel Harm like everyone does. And for Mistweaver, it heals both yourself, and if you're channeling Soothing Mist on a target, it will heal them too. It also summons several healing orbs, which is kind of nice, but the scaling on them is super poor right now. They don't heal for very much, and Expel Harm actually has a surprisingly high mana cost. Sweet. So go ahead.
Are these the same healing orbs as you get from
No.
Okay.
So these ones we do know that, and we can measure, and they are not very powerful. Okay. And I don't think the amount of healing orbs summoned will change. So it seems pretty unreliable in terms of being a button you want to press, just because the mana cost is so high. It's a worse Vivify. Its only real niche is if you have just taken a chunk of damage, you are already casting Soothing Mist on your tank, and he has just taken a chunk of damage. Sure, you can press Expel Harm. It'll be a nice heal on you and the tank, as opposed to Vivify, which would only heal you if you had Renewing Mist, and it wouldn't be that much. But that's the only real situation in which Expel Harm could be nice. But otherwise, it's pretty weak right now. And obviously, I think Expel Harm used to be good for Mistweaver because Mistweaver had Chi, and it was a Chi generator. Now we don't even have Chi, so it's kind of in a confusing state because it has no real purpose or direction. They kind of just threw it at Mistweaver just so we could have it again. So interested to see what they do with that.
Do you want Chi back for Mistweaver?
Yes. I think everyone does. I don't think you could ask anyone in Peak of Serenity or that plays the game. I mean, I'm sure there's someone. But everybody wants Chi back. I say that confidently. And we also want builder spenders that are DPS buttons. We want to be that spec again that deals damage to the boss and results in powerful healing, powerful raid healing. Way the Crane still is a kind of pitiful attempt at that. It's literally just press this button and now you're dealing damage that heals people. And then it ends and you're not doing that anymore. And it costs so much mana right now, it doesn't even feel good to press. If we could eminence style of healing with uplift, I think everyone would love that. I think this is another situation where we are all telling Blizzard what we want. And it's concerning that we are not seeing an option of that, because I'll get this later, but the Covenant abilities we've seen from Mistweaver so far are kind of discouraging. They don't interact. They don't have a lot of kit interaction. They are very tied to Essence Font, which, again,
that's
a lot
like
the
least interactive button.
Yes, a lot of the community just wants to move away from that button. It's right now the best scaling. I mean, with Haste and Rising Mist, it could be argued. But once we go into Shadowlands, that build will no longer see the insane levels of Haste we have right now. Essence Font will again be our best button to press, and it's not an exciting button to press. You just press it, and this healing has no interaction outside of Vivify chasing. So yeah, I mean, to answer your question, we would love to see Chi back. I think that's hot on one of the most, if not the most, desired thing for us right now.
Kind of building off what we were talking about with Babs for Windwalker, are there Azerite traits that you have right now that you want to see carried forward?
There's only really one notable one, that being, I guess you could argue too. Secret Infusion is really cool for Mistweaver. You pick an ability to use Thunder Focus T on, and it will increase a certain stat based off which ability. If you use Thunder Focus T on Rising Sun Kick, it's Verse. Vivify's Mastery. Enveloping Mist is Crit. And Renewing Mist is Haste. And that feels kind of cool. You have an in-the-moment choice you can make off of an empowered ability to gain stats. And whatever stats you might need in that moment. maybe in Mythic Plus, you see the group is low and you want to have some nice haste so you can vivify up the group really quick. So you cast a Rooting Mist and spam vivify and get the group to full. In Raid, you can cast an Enveloping Mist on a viable target, get some nice crit, or a Rising Sun Kick, get some nice verse, and cast a big revival. It's kind of a fun little thing to play around with. And if they could move that forward, maybe just make it a passive. That would be really cool. Not even a talent, just add it to us, bake it in somewhere. And then the secondary, not as important, but Font of Life is kind of interesting. It's just when your Essence Font Bolts hit, it reduces the cooldown on Thunder Focus T. And I think Thunder Focus T is one of the stronger things in our kit. So that feels nice right now, and I think it will be noticed that we don't have it in Shadowlands. But mainly Secret Infusion. There are no real changing traits.
I feel that. Brewmaster, similarly, I don't think there are really any traits that we particularly care to see brought forward. Most of ours just give stats in heinous quantities. But as far as Brewmaster changes, I think from the sounds of it, Brewmasters have the most substantial changes. So our mitigation kit in particular is getting some pretty big changes. A lot of the fundamentals are still there. We still have stagger. It no longer works on magic damage. I'll circle back around to that in a little bit. We have stagger. We have something to buff stagger. In BFA, it was Iron Skin Brew. In Shadowlands, that is getting replaced by Shuffle, which is just a buff that you put up by doing your rotation. Keg Smash applies it. Blackout Strike, Blackout Kick applies it, and so on. And it's right now on Alpha exactly the same as Iron Skin Brew, just applied in a different way. And then we are getting Guard, a form of Guard back. That's the WAD version of the ability, not the BFA version, which is not good. The BFA version absorbs some of the damage that you would otherwise stagger. So we got Guard back as Celestial Brew. It's just a massive shield on a 30-second cooldown. And despite the name change, it does not benefit from brew cooldown reduction from like Keg Smash right now. So it's just 30 seconds. But the shield is huge. You can shield for double your health easily. So that shield also works on magic damage, which means that we now have a tool for working with magic damage beyond stagger, which is good because they took it off of stagger. And then Purifying Brew is exactly the same as it was. They took off a charge because we no longer have Iron Skin Brew to share charges with it. But overall, the mitigation kit is fairly similar, but we need some pretty massive tuning changes. So like right now, if you take Light Brewing, which currently on Alpha, you absolutely should because it's insane compared to the others. You can purify about every 5 seconds. And on live, you do that like every 30 seconds. It's a little bit nutty and not all that good. Like it's actually already at the point with zero haste and some talents that you absolutely don't want haste because your purifies start cannibalizing each other and getting they don't get worse. Like every purify still has positive value, but each added purify is just worth less and less and less and less. So they definitely have some tuning that they need to work out, but I think we have a pretty strong core. I'm a big fan of Celestial Brew or Guard coming back. And want to see how much of its behavior right now is due to bugs. You know, is it supposed to get cooldown reduction from Keg Smash and things like that? And how much of its behavior right now is intentional? And we don't know the answer to that yet. Yeah, so Alpha's been out now for 3 days, 4 days. What do you guys think? What are your thoughts on Alpha as a whole?
Babs, go ahead.
Yeah. I don't have, you know, I liked, you know, what I've been seeing so far. I got a chance to go to BlizzCon this year and try it out at least for a short period of time. You know, there still is that level of visual wonder, you know, when you get to a new zone and stuff like that. You know, definitely still have that. And from watching some streams and stuff, you know, that's still the case. You know, I think it, you know, at the moment, that's kind of the big thing, you know, for me, is that everything, you know, it still looks interesting. I'm still interested. You know, this is kind of a very, you know, new storyline and stuff. So I'm paying extra attention to try and not catch a lot of spoilers and stuff for me. So, you know, really, I think, you know, what we've seen so far is good. I think, you know, it's still very early. You know, so I'm trying to temper my expectations as well as tempering the expectations of other people, you know, who are kind of surprised that, you know, everything's not totally finished already, you know, maybe don't quite understand what alpha means. But I think so far everything looks pretty good. I know that I've been playing, you know, Demon Hunter the past couple months, and I know their changes don't look overly impressive, but my my heart's never really been with Demon Hunter, so as soon as I have a reason to go back to Windwalker, I will be.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with a lot of those things. I also went to BlizzCon this year, and had the chance to test the alpha myself. It does seem very, at least aesthetically, very more fantasy-like, and I like the direction that that's going. The environment and the atmosphere is really cool, and I know we're in the honeymoon stage kind of with the zones, and every time we see a new zone, we're going to be like, oh, wow, it looks awesome. The art team does it again. But, I mean, I have to be honest, I didn't feel that way the first time I saw most of the BEFA zones. I don't remember feeling as excited about the zones as I do right now. I think just the theme of each zone, the layout of each zone, is much more thought was put into it. I don't know, it just seems like, if you've heard the music in those zones too, it just feels like a different game than the BFA zones, and it feels really cool. Obviously, I don't want to invest too much in that because, again, we're in the honeymoon stage. I'm trying to temp, like Bab said, kind of temper my expectations right now. But yeah, super excited. From what I've seen, it looks amazing.
Yeah, I would generally agree with everything that both of you said. I did not get to go to BlizzCon last year, and from the sounds of it, we might not have one this year, which is disappointing because I could actually go. But from what I've been seeing on streams, yeah, the one zone we have so far looks fantastic. No spoilers, but the story has a little bit of a kind of classic utopian vibe where, you know, in the classic representations of a utopia, the point is that it's not actually a utopia, which I think is really interesting. There's a little bit more depth to that than like Zul'Dazar, which is, look, dinosaurs.
Yeah, or like Nazmir, which is skeleton dinosaurs and witches.
Yeah.
And then Vol'Dun, which is more skeleton dinosaurs.
Snake boys.
Yeah. Lots of snakes. I'm surprised that we didn't get Harrison Jones back for a little bit in Vol'Dun to make a snakes joke.
Yeah,
and I know I was thinking about, similarly, I was thinking about where Bran, where Hemet Nessingway will show up in some of these new zones, because they don't quite lend themselves to the same kind of safari jungle expedition thing as some of the other zones have in the past. So
I think Ardenweald might see him.
Yeah, and so I'm interested if they go with that, or if they try it, or if they maybe slip him in somewhere else,
maybe further on down the line.
Yeah,
I also caught a little bit of the new dungeon that is on alpha right now. And I don't know if it's just this specific dungeon, if maybe this is like the Shrine of the Storms of Shadowlands, but there are a lot of casters, like just a lot of casters, and the casts at the level they were doing it were a quarter of a monk's health, and stagger doesn't work on them anymore, and guard has a 30 second cooldown. So I'm a little bit concerned on that front, and that's somewhat a tuning issue. But if that's indicative of the other dungeons we're going to see, having magic removed from stagger, I think is going to really hurt. Especially when you compare it to something like a Death Knight or a Demon Hunter, where they just have something all the time for it. But that's a concern, so I think we'll see sorted out later in alpha.
From the mechanical standpoint, though, of like the bosses, from what I've seen, they do look pretty cool. I do like the hook boss, where you have to aim it at the boss and have him hook down and phase him several times. I'm sure that'll get old, like after you've done it a few times and in Mythic Plus, but it looks cool. It looks standard. The design of the dungeon's cool. Yeah, the only thing I would criticize is the amount of trash that is between the first and second boss. It reminds me a lot of Motherlode, which I like a paced out dungeon instead of a boss and then 20 minutes of trash and then the last three bosses.
Yeah.
That would be my only concern. Besides that, cool dungeon. I mean, it's not my favorite, but it's cool.
Oh, I guess on the subject of mechanics, one thing that I didn't touch on is Guard or Celestial Brew is on the GCD. I don't know why. When they made the GCD changes, they were doing it for abilities that did damage. There's a bunch of exceptions to that rule, like Light of the Protector for Paladins, Ignore Pain for Warriors was initially on the GCD and it got taken off. And bears still have frenzied regen on the GCD, and now brewmasters are getting an on GCD shield, and that kind of thing feels really, really, really bad. Please, Blizzard, don't do it.
And if we're complaining about GCDs, don't get mad because Ion asked us to. I think for Mistweaver, if any one ability could be brought off the GCD, my biggest complaint about Mistweaver right now in its current iteration is the GCD on Manatee feels awful. There's no reason for it. If you are pressing that button, it's because you are about to heal a lot and you need it now. And waiting a GCD for it feels really bad, especially if you're popping the Manatee GCD into the Conflict and Strife GCD. Into your next damaging ability. That's a long time to get the healing that you wanted three GCDs ago. And it shouldn't really be that way for healers. I understand the damage aspect, but in terms of an ability that reduces mana cost of your abilities, I don't see that being reasonable to be on the GCD. That would be my complaint about GCD from Mistweaver specifically.
So Sloot had an interview with Ian right as Alpha was going live, or shortly after it went live, which I will link in the description for this podcast episode, because it's really good and you should go listen to it. But one of the things that Sloot pinned Ion down on that I really appreciate is that, so Ian was trying to say that, you know, you should be planning around that. You should be planning for that. It should be skillful and rewarding you for being able to plan a few GCDs ahead. But healers and tanks especially don't always get to plan ahead for a GCD. Paladin's been really bad for that this expansion. Brewmaster less so because stagger. But on a paladin, you could go from full to dead in the space of a GCD. So if you start a GCD and then just get unlucky, you might die before you can press Light of the Protector, and there is nothing you can do about it. And that kind of thing feels extremely bad. And at the same time, things like being able to recover from your group taking unexpected damage, or the same person getting hit by multiple different archers in siege or something like that. Having GCD locked abilities that do nothing but buff your next abilities, or GCD locked self-healing abilities on tanks, feels really bad.
Especially when it's over several GCDs. That's when it starts getting noticeably frustrating. When you have to several GCDs that do nothing by themselves and use them in an order where sometimes the first GCD, it's running out because you're using more GCDs after it, and you're just watching it lower its time while you're still prepping. And it's just frustrating.
Yeah, I kind of feel very similar. You know, obviously, you know, when Windwalkers are, like right now in BFA, if you were to talent into Zuen, you're starting your, you start each pull with, you know, an Azurite ability, you know, which, you know, at the moment for most of us is Blood of the Enemy. So you're starting Blood of the Enemy, empty global. You're starting Touch of Death, empty global. You're starting Storm, Earth, and Fire, empty global. And if you're talented in Zuen, you're starting Zuen, empty global. So you're pressing four buttons in the first, you know, 10 seconds of the fight. And those four buttons don't do any direct damage right then. They're, you know, they'll do their damage over time, or they'll do the damage a couple seconds later. Like, you know, definitely feel that, you know, going forward. You know, Windwalkers are not going to be pressing Touch Death on pull. There's not going to be, as you know, essences and stuff. So you're going to be down to Storm, Earth, and Fire and Zuen as empty globals. But, you know, that's still, like, it's better. But I'm hoping that it's not something that people really notice. And like, oh, man, I'm spending the first, you know, couple seconds of the fight just pressing buttons and not actually doing anything. And then on the flip side, you know, then I mentioned this earlier in regards to Touch of Karma and stuff. Touch of Karma is classified as defensive ability, so it's off the global. Fortifying Brew is a defensive ability, so it's off the global. And Touch of Death is on the global. So there's a situation where you're going to make a macro that's going to pop Fort Brew, then Touch of Karma, then Touch of Death, all in one global, and you're just going to be controlled by this macro. And I know that was something that they really wanted to get away from in making this choice. So, you know, here are these situations where that would be a DPS decision, a decision, you know, to increase your damage and stuff like that. But it kind of flies in the face of what they had been trying to do with the global changes, you know, plus, you know, which certainly obviously, you know, at putting them all on the global is not going to fix that. You still would look to pop them one after the other, you know, or at least in the span of that Fort Brew buff and stuff to get used to it. But I definitely like that they at least seem open to backing off of it a little bit. But I think it's one of those Pandora's box things that if they back off a little bit, they back off in one direction or one class or one ability, people are going to be clamoring for this other stuff. And I think it's going to become very unwieldy for them to kind of keep control of.
I mean, I feel very strongly that none of these tank self-healing buttons should be on the GCD. The only exception being Deathstrike, but that's because they're like the entire Blood DK kit revolves around planning for Deathstrikes. Like, that's their whole kit. That's everything. Everything is about that and their defensive cooldowns. Something like a Paladin, your entire kit does not revolve around planning your Light of the Protector. Same way with Brewmasters and Guard, or Bears and Frenzied Regen. And so having these abilities on the GCD is just a massive, massive pain with no real strategic benefit, because you don't plan to press, you know, Light of the Protector, you know, two GCDs from now. You don't know what your health is going to be. You could be full health if you block everything. You could be dead. You just don't know. Anything else before we wrap up? Anything else from that interview with Ian that you want to call out if you've had the chance to listen to that? And by call out, I don't mean call out Ian, just like anything else you want to talk about.
I think that interview was really well done. I think in terms of in the past couple of years of all the interviews or Twitch streams, you know, whatever, I think Sloot did a really great job of kind of pressing the issue on certain things. And I think Ian did a good job of answering, you know, certain things, you know, certainly within, you know, some realm of certainty or, you know, in his normal kind of roundabout PR sort of way. You know, I think with, you know, with kind of the post that we got from them earlier this week, plus then that, I think it does hopefully show, and I can't say for sure, you know, or maybe, but hopefully show, you know, that they're at least a little bit more conscious of the things that they're saying and, you know, not trying to be so heavy handed with, you know, our way is the best way.
Yeah, I think they realize that they can't get away with another BFA. They can't do that. Just simply, I mean, if you're going to be pessimistic about it, they can't do it for profit reasons. They will not. People are going to stop playing the game this time if they do another BFA. Some of the more hardcore people stuck with BFA. If it happens again, they will not. And I think they know they can't do that. So they are trying everything they can to communicate and do this one better. Like Bab said, I loved that interview. It was a great job to Sloot for asking the questions that mattered. And good for Ian for answering honestly and telling us what happened behind the scenes and why things went a certain way and what they're going to do differently. And yeah, we've already seen some of the things come back that we asked for, like Conquest vendors. We're not having a replacement for Titan Forging of Corruption. It's just going to be loot and less of it, which is really cool, I think.
Oh, I'm a huge fan of that.
Yeah, it makes
yeah. I mean, That was kind of the biggest surprise for me, was that I really expected there to be a corruption type mechanic going forward, because I like the corruption system overall. It just needs to be implemented in a better way. But that implementing in that better way is best done with more access to loot. So if they're trying to kind of scale back how much loot people have, you know, from all over the place and give people a little more control, then I can understand where that would only exacerbate a system like corruption.
Yeah. I mean, there are pieces that I like about corruption, but Brewmaster has been in this state for at least a couple tiers, possibly longer, depending on your point of view, where stats basically don't matter. I have not looked at stats on a single piece of gear this tier. Does it have corruption? Yes, no. Otherwise, put on the highest high level piece. And that just completely guts the gearing system. This tier has not been, you know, wow, loot. It's been corruption and then just like this number bump, watching this eye level number go up and up and up. It took a lot out of the core gameplay loop, and I'm hopeful that by reducing the loot drops, maybe I'll start caring a little bit more about the actual items.
I would mostly agree with that, because it would feel very nice to run a dungeon and at the end you finally get a ring or something and you're like, I have this ring now. This is my ring until eye level goes up. I am a little concerned with how continuously running Mythic Plus will be encouraged besides enjoyment of Mythic Plus, because there is no infinite resource to grind with AP. You're not going to really get that at the end of a dungeon. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that. I know Ian said the more Mythic Plus you run, the more choices you have in your box. I think if that's the only incentive to run more Mythic Plus, it's going to feel a little bad, but we'll see. That's my only complaint about that.
I am of two minds on that, because for one thing, I agree. I think there are going to be people that just drop out of Mythic Plus once they've got their pieces they need from it. On the other hand, I know there are people like Babylonius over here that don't like running Mythic Plus and won't be upset that they get to check out of Mythic Plus after 3 weeks.
Hell yeah.
I can see that. But it's for the people that want to have a reason to run Mythic Plus and don't. That's my only concern.
And If they continue with this kind of AOTC sort of achievement that we got this tier for doing all the plus 15s in time, I mean, you know, getting him out in a title at the end, it works for Heroic. There's a bunch of people that just do Heroic and get their AOTC and call it a day. And for a lot of them, it takes a lot longer than, you know, we cleared it the first week and got our mount and our title, and we're working on Mythic now. There is not a single piece of loot I want off of Mythic Nazoth, but we're working on it anyway.
Well, and I think there's stuff that they could do about that. I think you could take some of these rating systems that you have for Mythic Plus, from Raider.io, from WoW Progress, whatever, and work those into the game. And then, you know, say at the end of the tier, the top 1%, just like you would get gladiators for PvP, you could have a gladiator version, you know, for Mythic Plus, and that would let people kind of keep pushing. You know, it would, to a certain extent, you know, continue, perpetuate some of the issues of, you know, not taking somebody unless they're, you know, X rating, but not X rating. That was the wrong way to say it. Y rating, E rating, random number rating. You know, but I think because there's less incentive just to run it week in and week out and stuff like that, for those of us that don't really want to, the people that want to keep pushing it, that'll give them some type of competitiveness, you know, just like it when it was originally put in, you know, with challenge modes and stuff, and, you know, having the realm first time and stuff like that. I think there's definitely mechanics that are not far off of what they've already had in game that they could use to absolutely just keep people that enjoy it, let them feel, you know, that they're still moving.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of the gladiator system, but I think that's the right kind of thing they need to do, is tie some cool reward amount, a title, something for you to work towards and get over the course of a patch. And if it ends up being a gladiator style system, I'll be a little bit annoyed, because I personally don't like that. It feels out of reach for me, but I'm pretty happy with the achievement that we've got right now for the 15s. I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, another one for 20s, and, you know, some insane title for people to get 25s done. You know, that would be cool. All right.
I agree.
Anything else y'all want to talk about before we wrap things up?
Do we want to touch on Covenants? Is there enough there to touch on? I mean,
I mean, personally, from Windwalker's perspective, I'd rather wait, because none of them make any sense.
Yeah, so the Brewmaster one's not really, like, you get an extra keg smash every 2 minutes.
I'm kind of concerned. I'm really hoping they'll be iterated on, I guess, is the what I have to say about Covenants for Monks. What they have right now, what's been kind of data mined, looks pretty boring, pretty not game-changing like any other class is right now. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, and without going down that path too much, like the one for Windwalker, it was very disruptive playing it at BlizzCon, and it would be just as disruptive now. Like, you don't want an ability that's supposed to be cool and great to actually feel just downright awful.
Yeah.
And Mistweavers resets the cooldown of Essence Font and ties more healing to it. So,
yeah, everyone wants that. That's always clamored
that
for.
That is something we're trying to move away from actively. So, there's hope. That's all I'm going to keep saying.
Yeah, and it is worth pointing out, monks of the four covenants, we only had one ability revealed. Every other class in the game had at least two, I believe.
Correct.
And so we're just like missing three covenants. It's clear that monks have either they've been having a harder time figuring the monk stuff out, or they just haven't gotten to that point yet to figure out the monk stuff and gave us something that's, you know, kind of generically powerful. You know, it gives a bunch of stats and resets the cooldown on one of your big abilities.
Yeah, the optimist in me hopes that's because they're working really hard on it and they want it to be good. The pessimist in me thinks that they don't know what to do and they're lost. We'll see which one it is. I'm hoping it's the former, but
yeah.
Okay.
I'm most of my energy is focused on the class stuff. That other stuff I'll worry about later.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you all for joining me for this episode of the PeakCraft podcast. This is produced by the Peak of Serenity team, I guess. If you want to support this and the other content that we produce, you can go to peakofserenity.com and get to our Patreon and PayPal links to support us that way. Thank you all for listening, and we will be back in a week or two, depending on how many changes we see, to talk more about Shadowlands and BFA.